Well, we're back in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 12. And last time we were together in Luke's Gospel, I was gone last week. I heard it had a great crowd last week. Maybe I should stay away more often. But it's good to be here back again. It was nice to be in Margaree, but it's nice to be home. And this is home. And I praise the Lord for that. And we're just so delighted to be able to be here together. In this passage of Scripture, we find that there's some real challenges here. As we go through the Scriptures, I love to preach right through a book because I can't just jump over what I find a little difficult or what's more challenging or whatever it is. We have to face it and hear what God has to say to us. And it's vital and it's important that we hear from the Lord. And the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God shall man live. And in this passage, Jesus is going to give us some real challenges here, that it has to be all the way with Jesus, that you can't take Jesus in little portions. You can't have a facade of Christianity, like an outward, well, I'm going to look like a Christian on the outside and live somewhere different on the inside. That doesn't mean we're perfect. Don't misunderstand me. But that God is looking for reality. And he's going to challenge us as we look in this passage of Scripture in Luke 12:1. Let's read through the passage and then we'll go from there. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. What you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Let's pray. Lord, give us understanding of your word today. Thank you that the word of God, Lord, is a lamp to our feet and it's a light to our path. And we do pray, Lord, that your spirit will speak into our souls and speak to each one of us where we are in our lives. We are so grateful, God, that we are not just here by ourselves, with the Bible and with one another, but that you have promised that you are here and that your presence, Lord, is what we need. And so we welcome you and we welcome your authority in this room. Lord, let me be an instrument of blessing. Let me be someone, Lord, who is simply a tool in your hands to do what you please. And we surrender this morning to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I didn't read the last verse on that, did I?
Nope.
Yes. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. So as we go through this passage of Scripture, we're going to see these challenges, and these challenges are there to draw us into the presence of God, for us not to miss the reality of Christianity, because after all, you look at our culture today, how many people would say that they are Christians? Most people would say they're Christians in our culture, wouldn't they? They would say, I'm a Christian, I was baptized when I was a baby, or I go to church all the time, or I say a prayer once in a while, or I'm a good person because I try to do the best I can, that makes me a Christian. And so lots of people have different ideas of what it means to be a Christian, but I want you to know that God's ideas are the only ideas that count at the end of the day. I must know whether I'm on the right side of things or on the wrong side of things. And if I'm on the wrong side of things, and it's pointed out to me, well, I shouldn't get all huffy about it. I should say, well, let me get on the right side of things then. If the Spirit of God shows me I'm on the wrong side of things, he does it so that he might bring me on the right side. Praise God that that's what he wants to do. And so as he begins to speak to his disciples here, there's crowds have all gathered around. He says to them, I want you to watch out for something. There's something that's really sneaky and it's really tricky and it can mess you up bad. And what it was, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, why would he use the word leaven? Anybody know what leaven means?
Yeast,
that's right. Now, the Jews knew what it meant. Leaven or yeast was an example that was used in the Old Testament of sin. It was used to show that, there's sin hidden in here. It's kind of like if you took a dough and you put yeast in it and you had dough without yeast in it, at first, could you tell the difference? You couldn't tell the difference at all. But after a while, what happens? The bread rises because a little bit, what if you only put a little bit of yeast in though? Does all the bread rise? Yes, it does. Yeah, a little yeast goes through the whole lump. A small amount of yeast has an effect on the whole thing. And so a little bit of yeast goes a long way. And I'll tell you what, a little bit of sin goes a long way. It really does. And so what Jesus is really doing is he's warning them of the danger of sin. But he's warning them of a danger of hiding our sin. This is what he's warning us of. Don't hide your sin, he says. Watch out. The Pharisees are doing that. They're pretending to be so good and holy on the outside, but they're crooked as can be on the inside. They look nice on the outside. They're just like a grave, a tomb that's all shiny and well looked after up above. But underneath, they're still dead man's bones, right? It's still corrupt on the inside. And that was the problem with the Pharisees. But Jesus said, I want you to watch out for this. I want you to be careful that there isn't anything, that you're not hiding sin. Hiding sin doesn't work. Here's what God says about hiding sin. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you've spoken in the ear and inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. Whoa, no secrets. First of all, is there anything in your life that God does not know? No. So he sees it all. But you know what he says? Not only is he going to see it all, so is everybody else. Is that what he says? It's going to find you out. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. That there's no point in us hiding our sin. The best thing we can do is deal with our sin. When we seek to hide our sin and pretend we don't have sin, that's when we run into real trouble. And often, for some people, they don't even see their sin. But when you see your sin, we need to expose that and say, okay, God, something needs to be dealt with it. Because it's going to come to light. God will bring, look, Ecclesiastes 12:14. God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Whoa. Whatever we bury, whatever we think is just buried under there, nobody's ever going to know, but I'll put it under a rock. I'll bury it deep. He says, God will expose it all. There's nothing. There's nothing that God doesn't know. And there's nothing that will not be exposed. On the day of judgment, there's no place to hide. Do you know that in the last days in Revelation chapter 6, it tells us when the Son of Man is coming, when a great and mighty earthquake shakes the world, that the people are going to be crying out. They're going to be saying, fall to the rocks and the hills, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits upon the throne. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That there will be people who will be saying, I got to get in a cave somewhere. God is coming to judge, and I'm not ready. So I'm going to hide. I'm going to go, and I'm going to hide in a cave. Fall on us. Hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne. That's exactly what it says in the Bible. Because they're terrified, because they know their sin is going to be exposed. They know that their unrighteousness is going to be exposed, and they're going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But you don't want to wait till that day. None of us should wait till that day. Today we can have our sins dealt with. Today you can have your sin covered by Jesus Christ. Today you can have the forgiveness of your sins so that it will not come against you on the day of judgment. Because your sin is either going to be exposed at the cross or it's going to be exposed on the day of judgment. Did you get that? If it's exposed at the cross, there Jesus takes the punishment for it. All of it. If it's exposed for you at the day of judgment, then you're going to have to take the punishment for it. Hey, is that a no-brainer or what? It may be a no-brainer, but most people hold back from total surrender to Jesus Christ. They think, I can still keep on sinning. I can still cover up. I can still go in this direction. Listen, run from sin as far as you can. If you think you can entertain sin and walk with God, you're fooling yourself. God is looking for, there's a dividing line here. God is looking for all the way with Jesus. Jeremiah 23:24 says this, "Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?" Is there any secret place from God? No, absolutely not. But oh, to be able to come to this living God and say, "Lord, here I am with my failures." God is not saying, "If you're perfect, I'll accept you." God is saying, "Come and let me be your perfection. Come and allow me to deal with your sin." And he did that by going to the cross. He did that by dying for your sins and mine. Judgment is coming. Is that true? Is anybody going to escape it? Are rocks and hills going to hide us? Is there a cave somewhere where people can hide from the judgment of God? There's no place to hide. Except one. One. My hiding place is Jesus Christ. He is the only hiding place there is. The old hymn says, "He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock." The Bible says that Jesus is our rock and our salvation, our defense. He is the one whom I can hide in. He is the one whom I can take my bucket load of sin or tractor trailer load of sin. I can take it all. I can take everything that I've ever done. I can take all the messes of my life. I can take the worst things and the things that nobody else knows about, and I can bring them to the foot of the cross. I can give them to Jesus Christ, and he takes them all. He forgives them all. And the only reason why he can forgive them is because he died for them. Because he took the punishment you deserve for your sins. He suffered in your place. He was punished so you wouldn't have to be. So if you don't take his gift, that is him being punished for you, then you're going to be punished. You must be, or God would not be fair. And that's the reality of it. And friends, it's important for us to consider it. It's so important that here's what happens. So if I cover my sin, in Psalm 32, David was writing and he said, "Whoever covers his sins doesn't prosper." If I cover my sin, if I bury my sin, if I think somehow, you know, I can get away with my sin, I am going to fool myself right into hell. But if I expose my sin to God and I acknowledge my sin to him, he takes it away. It's gone. Never to be held against you on that day of judgment. And so Jesus challenges us, don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be like them. Now look, they had religion. They had the money, they had power, they had prestige, they had everything going for them. And Jesus says, nope, they got nothing going for them. Nothing. All they have on the is outside, and inside they haven't dealt with the real issues, real sin. So may God deliver us from hypocrisy. May God deliver us from false pretenses. Listen, you might convince yourself all day long that you're a pretty good fellow or a pretty good lady, but I'm telling you, you're not. You're a sinner who needs a Savior. If the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, says that he was the chief of sinners, if the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, if God tells us that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, you think you're the exception? Really? I'm afraid you're not. And that is why you need a Savior. And that is why we need our hearts cleansed. The Bible says that God gives us a new heart when we trust in the Lord. And so he says this, whatever you've spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. What you've spoken in an ear and in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. This is it. No one can hide from God. And so whatever has been said will be exposed. So this is the first thing that he challenges them with. He challenges them with reality. Deal with your sin. It can be dealt with. Thank God, it can be. I've said this before, but if I had a wound here and it was festering and infected, and I says, okay, well, I am just going to put as many bandages on this as I can so I don't have to see it anymore, and I'll be okay. Will that work? No. We know that doesn't work. So I cover it up. I say, I'm going to just get rid of this. As long as I don't think about it, it'll be okay. As long as I don't think about my sin, it will be gone. No, it will just fester and fester and worse. But if I expose it and then I deal with it and put whatever's needed on it, the antibiotics that are needed, then thank God there's hope. There's deliverance for me. But so often we just want to put the little Band-Aid on our problems. Well, you know, I've got this problem and I want to fix it. But I don't really want to fix it. I just want to put a Band-Aid on it and keep on going the way I am. That's not life, friends. That's a pathway to death. It will come back and haunt you. It will explode in your life. God is looking for 100% because he knows that less than that will destroy you. And that's mercy. That's mercy. It's not a bad, mean doctor that comes and cuts away the rot or the problem. It's a good thing. And sometimes I'm going to hurt you because I'm going to tell you what's wrong in your life. And I hope you can do the same to me. But I hope you don't get upset with me because I'm trying to be a good doctor. Now, I'm not the best doctor in the world. I'm not talking about operating on anybody's body, okay? But if I expose your sin, it's so that you might be delivered from it. And that's what God does by the power of the Spirit. And so the next thing that he says is this. Now, I want you to understand the reality God is telling them about eternal destinies. And this is important. And I want you to understand where your honor, your respect should be. I want you to understand that fear can be a healthy thing. Do you know the Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom? Now, I know that there are some churches, all they do is preach hellfire and brimstone, and the preacher's up there telling, you're going to hell. No, I don't do that, do I? No, I don't think so. But I will tell you that you'll go to hell if you don't trust in Jesus Christ. I will tell you that all your attempts to live a life that's so supposed to be pleasing to God will all be useless if you don't come to Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that can save you, because that's what he said, and I believe every word that he said. Jesus said this, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. But after that, they have no more that they can do. Now that sounds, well, of course, if somebody's going to threaten to kill you, it might be illegitimate to be a little bit afraid of them, right? If all you have is this life, of course, that's going to be your deepest concern, the preservation of your life. These apostles, every one of them was going to face martyrdom. One of them survived martyrdom, John, and they even threw him in a pot of boiling oil. And he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos as an old man and wrote the book of Revelation. But the rest of them, as far as we know from history, were killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying, listen, my friends, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body. Now, they were going to face that very reality. I don't know if you will or you won't. Maybe God will call you to some place where they will. There are Christians who are suffering for their faith right now, and they're dying for their faith in Jesus Christ. They, not long after this, they had Christians in arenas. And they would, all they had to do was say, I renounce Jesus Christ. I worship the emperor, the Roman emperor. And they could walk right out of that arena. But they refused to do it and allowed their bodies to be ripped to pieces by lions. You might say, well, what would I do if I was in that middle of that arena and the lions were all gathered around ready to gnaw me to pieces, and all I had to do was say, I worship Caesar and I renounce Jesus. If you really stop and think about it, you might be thinking, I don't know what I would say. Listen, do you think you'd have the strength to say, I worship Jesus. I will not worship Caesar. I'm such a strong-willed person. I don't have that strength. Not when I'm looking at the mouth of lions. So where does it come from? It has to come from God, friends. Jesus is saying, if you trust me, I'll give you what you need when the time comes. And he did, friends. He did. Those Christians stood there 50,000 people gathered round, shouting and hollering and watching these Christians being torn to pieces with peace and joy and even singing hymns in the middle of it. That has to be God's power. But here's what God says. I'll show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. What he's saying is, we people have all kinds of fears about all kinds of things. And Jesus said, listen, you don't have to be afraid about any of that stuff. What you should do is fear God. Now, when he says that, he's not talking about complete terror of God. He's talking about holding him in awe and in respect. Yes, being afraid that you could get cast into hell. That's not a bad thing, to be afraid of that. And to deal with that and to make sure that you're on the right side of things. Make sure that you accept Christ as your Savior. Matthew 10 says it further, 28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot, what? Kill the soul. How many people have said to you or believe, when you're dead, you're dead. When your body goes in the ground, it's all over. There's nothing left. Did you know that this verse throws that out? I'll take the word of Jesus over whoever said that. Look what it says. They who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. The soul does live on after you die. And what Jesus is saying to them, there's something far more important than this life. There's something far more important than your body. There's something far more important than living in this world. Because listen, we're all going to die anyway, aren't we? We're all getting closer to the grave every day. I think you've sung that song a few times, have you, Leonard? We're getting closer to the grave every day. Every one of us are going to die. I can't believe my father died at 60. I'm turning 60 in July. I've made it to my father's age. I thought he was an ancient man when he died. I thought he was so old. 60's not old anymore. It's the new young. Right? But so 60, 70, 80, bang, I'm going to die. And it could be long before that. I might not make it through the rest of this year. I don't know. We don't know, do we? We really don't. The most important thing is to be ready to meet God, because this body's going to the ground. Unless Jesus returns before that, we're all going to the ground. And we're going quicker than we think. I spoke to a 98-year-old woman this past week, and I said, life, I said, does it seem like it was a long, long time? No, she said, it's just a dream. It's just a dream. And many of you that are getting up in years, not count myself here, you could say the same. It's just a dream, isn't it? Poof, it's gone. Years fly by. How did I get here? She, you know what she said? She said, I'm 35 in my mind, but my body is 98. She said, it doesn't work. But in my mind, I still feel like I'm 35. Right? It's because you have a soul, friends. It's because God wants you to experience him, not just for here, but for eternity. But this body will fade away. All of it will. And Jesus is saying here, listen, get your priorities right here. Don't mess up on, misunderstand things. If you're, the living of your body is the most important thing to you, if you can just squeak out another year of life, if you think that's the most important thing, let me tell you, it isn't. Because your soul is what really matters. That's the real issue here, friends. Cannot kill the body. Cannot kill the soul, pardon me. The soul lives on. And so Jesus is challenging them. Listen, friends, here's what really matters. It's your life with God that matters. It's eternal life that matters, not the temporary life. Of course we need to look after things in this world. But do not live to gratify your own body desires. Do not make that the center of your experience. You know, if you're the center of your experience, if it feels good, I'm going to do it. Then you've missed the focus, right? And yet we do that. We do that in eating. We do that in drugs. We do that in alcohol. We do that in partying, whatever it might be. In anything in our lives that puts us ahead of God, we're in a bad spot. But God makes the difference. So there's a tremendous statement given here. There's a tremendous dividing line here, friends. as to where will your soul spend eternity. But you know, thank God, Jesus was being gracious at the same time. He wanted them to understand something here. While he gives the hard message, he also gives a message of tremendous grace and mercy. Because now he says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So while Jesus gives it to them, he bangs it out and says, listen, here's the reality. If you're going to be a hypocrite, you're in deep trouble. Here's the reality. If you die without me, you're going to lose your soul. So you need to fear God. You need to hold God in awe and respect, and you need to run to Jesus Christ. That's what you really need to do. But at the same time, he says, but I want you to understand I love you. I want you to understand that I care. I want you to understand that I am such a sovereign God that I know every sparrow. Not one sparrow is forgotten before God. You imagine the entire universe here. You imagine the whole of this creation and every little thing. That means what he's really telling you is that it doesn't matter what it is. Not one bug. God knows the name of every bug. God knows, identifies every creature that's on this planet all at the same time. We're talking about God here. He knows everything. He sees everything. Not one sparrow. God knows that sparrow. He knows that bird that's flying through the air. He knows the speck of dust that goes from one place to the other. God sees, hears, and understands and knows everything. So he wants us to know this, but he says, I want you to understand the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, some of you, the numbers are getting less all the time, right? And others, you know, maybe they're a little bit longer. But he knows every hair in your head, numbered. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the detail that's involved in that? I mean, look around. I don't know how many billion people there now are on the planet. Was it 6, 7? Huh? Close to 7 billion people on the planet. God knows every one of them. That'd be something. You know, we got computers now that can do that, don't we? We have computers that can number everybody on the planet. So if you think, oh, God could never do that, we've got a computer that we made that can do that. Do you think God is bigger than a computer? Right? And those computers don't have to be very big to count everybody on this planet. But God goes a little further than that. He says, I count every hair and every head on the whole planet. Can you imagine that? The very hairs of your head are numbered. That's amazing. And I'm sure it's like, oh, there's one less on that fellow's head. Oh, one less on hers. One less there. One less there. He's not overwhelmed by that. God is so majestic and so awesome and so powerful and so all-seeing and all-knowing that everything is under his eye. But it's an eye of care. Look what he says. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So what's he doing? While he's giving us warnings, at the same time, he's saying, I'm looking after you. If you'll trust me, here's the kicker though. You need to give your life to Christ. And then you will find him looking after you. Because that's what he promised to do. You know, the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, and in the end, he loses his own soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul? What would you hold up and say, this is more valuable than my eternal soul? I hope nothing. I hope there's nothing that rises up. Your pride, your independence. Don't let any of those things keep you. Don't let anything keep you from the salvation of your soul by trusting in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus values our souls. He says, you're of more value than many sparrows. How do I know this? Jesus didn't come and die for sparrows. Jesus came to die for you. He came to die for people. People like you and me. He went to the cross for you. How valuable are you today? You're valuable enough that the Son of God would leave heaven in all of its glory, come down here, be conceived within the womb of Mary, grow up into this world, live being persecuted, and finally, allow people to crucify him for you. That's how valuable you are. That's how precious you are in the sight of Almighty God. Fear not, he says. You're of more value than many sparrows. Now, you might think, that sounds like a contradiction. He just told us to fear the one who can cast us into hell. And now he turns around and says, do not fear. It's not a contradiction, friends. I have a respect for Almighty God, and I ought to. I have a respect for him. Now, as far as being cast into hell, I thank God that I was afraid at one time about that, and that God showed me the way not to be afraid by trusting in his son. But that doesn't mean I still don't have an awesome respect for God. But I'm not living in terror of him, because he loves me, because I've accepted him as my Savior. The same one who judges is the same one who saves. The choice is yours. Will you have him as the one who will judge you, or will you have him as the one who will save you? Which one will it be? Oh, yes, Lord, I'm going to take you as my Savior. May God give you the grace today to do just that. Take him as your Savior. Now, he continues on giving the dividing line between one side or the other. As he says this, also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will confess before the angels of God. He who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. Well, what is he saying? He's saying all the way, you're going to be mine, you're mine. He says, when you acknowledge me, and that's what the Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That is, I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I belong to Christ. How do I confess him? I confess him with my lips. That's one way we confess him. Another way we confess him is by baptism. Yeah, that's what the Bible teaches. That baptism is a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ. Now, baptism doesn't save you, nor does my mouth save me. Faith in Jesus Christ saves me. But faith in Jesus Christ means my life is transformed. It means I belong to Jesus Christ now. And he is my captain of my soul. He is my Savior, and I acknowledge. I acknowledge him. If there's no faith, there's no acknowledgement. God doesn't call you to a secret faith. He calls you to an open faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what it says here. He says, if you're going to deny me, then you deny me. If I'm not yours, then you're not mine. That's what he says. That's what he acknowledges here. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Luke 12:10, and then he gives another word. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Is there such a thing as an unforgivable sin? Yep. Says it right here. There is an unforgivable sin. Now, here's how that unforgivable sin works. The Holy Spirit is God, and he's working in the world. And the Bible says he's sent in the world to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. Okay? So, the only way that I can be saved is if I listen to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to testify of Jesus. Now, before I was a Christian, I said things against Jesus Christ. I really did. I cursed him. I had nothing wanted to do with him. Said I hated Jesus. And didn't want, even though I said he didn't exist, I still hated him. And I was against God. So how can I stand here forgiven then? Because the Holy Spirit convicted me and showed me that Jesus was God. Now, when that happens, now I got a real choice to make, because now I know. You see, the Holy Spirit revealed the truth to me, and I was faced with that truth. And if I curse the Spirit of God and rejects the Spirit of God, God knows when that happens in someone's life, there's nothing left for me, because the only way I can get saved is by the power of the Spirit of God. I have to be born of the Spirit. So there is a time in people's lives when they say no for the last time to God, and they will never be saved. I don't know when that is. I'm nobody's judge. But it is a warning to people. There is a sin. There is a time when finally I say no for the last time, and I will never be saved. How tragic that is. And obviously some people have gotten there, because the Bible says that narrow is the gate to life, and few there be that find it. Wide is the way to destruction, and many go into it. If I turn my back on the ministry of the Spirit of God, who is revealing Jesus Christ to me, I've got nowhere else left to go. There's a place where I turn my back. And this goes even further. It uses the word to blaspheme. And you know, it was a strong warning to the Pharisees right there, because they were saying that Jesus was casting out demons. How? by the devil. That the spirit that was working in Jesus was the spirit of the devil. And then, so they were putting themselves out on a limb, and Jesus was warning them, saying, listen, this is what can happen to you. If you go too far, you will never be forgiven. Oh, may we not, instead of even thinking of going that direction, ought we not to be running to Jesus and falling before him and saying, Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, take over my life. Jesus, have your way with me. Listen, let's go all the way with Jesus. Because Jesus is saying, if you're not going to go all the way with me, then you're going to go all the way the other way. It isn't going to be a gray area. You're not going to get on the other side and say, well, I'll burn off a few sins and then I'll hop into heaven. It won't work that way, friends. Jesus died for all of those sins on that cross. There is either heaven or hell, and he is there as the gatepost between the two places, and his arms are open wide, and he says, come in, come in. The hairs of your head are numbered. I know all about you, and I want to save you. I want to bring you in, but you got to come all the way with me. Don't fool around. You can't just float on a little fence here and think you're going to be all right. It's all the way with Jesus. This is what he challenges us to in every way. But he gives them hope in all of that. He says, listen, I want you to acknowledge me. People are going to even try to kill you. It's going to be tough sometimes. And you're going to have to confess me. And in that process, you might even be brought before kings and magistrates. You might get yourself into hot water as a result of it. When they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you will answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in the very hour what you ought to say. More consolation for them. He says, I'll give you what you need. Even in the hard places, he gives an example here of a very difficult spot. He says, you're going to get arrested. And they were. He says, you're going to get hauled in front of the judges, the religious rulers, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You're going to get hauled in front of them, and you're going to actually get persecuted. But he says, you don't have to worry about it. I'll take care of it. I'll give you what you need when the time comes. Because here's what happens. Oftentimes when we consider following Jesus Christ, oftentimes we consider surrendering everything to Jesus, we get afraid. Here's what we say. I don't think I could do that. I don't think that I have the strength to live that much for God. I don't think that I could give this up. I don't think that I could give that up. I don't think that I could. And of course you can't. You can't. You don't have the strength to do anything. That's the beauty of what God says. He says, not only will I save you, but I will give you the strength to be able to do whatever needs to be done. And here he shows this here. If, you know, being hauled before these judges and magistrates, what am I going to do? God will give it. God will provide. The Lord will provide. Go all the way with Jesus. He'll go all the way with you. Did you get that? Go all the way with Jesus. He'll go all the way with you. He will go all the way to death with you. He'll go all the way through death with you. He'll go all the way to glory with you. He'll go all the way through every struggle, through every trial, through every circumstance. Jesus will go all the way with you. He won't leave you abandoned in the face of the hard places. Because that's what it speaks of right here. Hard places, right? He will not leave you abandoned. God is calling us to go all the way with him. Don't hold back. Don't hold back in any place in your life. May God deliver us from any hypocrisy, a double-sided way, trying to live two lives. May God draw us to the place where we appreciate that living, having our soul with God is more important than anything in this world. May we discover that, yes, I want to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to live for him. Whatever way he shows me, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to put him first. And then we will also find that he's there caring for us, counting the very hairs of our head, watching over us. We will find that he's there to give us exactly what we need in the trials that we face. Because that's the kind of God that he is. All the way with Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you invite us to go all the way with you. Don't let us hold back, Lord. But here we are. Let us trust you with the saving of our soul. Let us trust you with the keeping of our souls. Let us trust you, Lord, that we can follow you and take steps of faith, Lord, and allow you to carry us and be there for us every step of the way. Oh, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.